left off yesterday on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph on the first wide line. The Gemara quotes a machlokes between Rav Chiya bar Rashi and the regular Rav Chiya. Amar Rav Chiya bar Rashi, pas tenuma b'kayra levachem olav hamoitzi. If you have a slice of bread, you say hamoitzi, as opposed to mezonos. Why one would have thought that you say mezonos? So that's the chiddush of Rav Chiya bar Rashi, that you say hamoitzi. And this is in disagreement with Rav Chiya, who says that you say mezonos. Pliga de Rav Chiya, dam Rav Chiya, the only time you say hamoitzi, tzoch shetich lebrocha im hapas. The only time you say hamoitzi is if you do betzias hapas. I mean, you have to, if you have sliced bread, you're not doing betzias hapas. So the only time you say hamoitzi, that's what it sounds like. The only time you say hamoitzi is if you're cutting through the bread, or you're breaking the bread with your hands. Okay, it's also betzias hapas. You're breaking the bread, and shetich la brocha im hapas. You complete hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz as you're breaking the bread in half. So if you have sliced bread, the brocha is mezonos. So Tosfos says that's impossible. What did we spend so much time about? We had a brisa, chana v'afo u'bishlo. Sometimes it becomes mezonos, sometimes it remains hamotzi. And then we had the Gemara about chavitza, sometimes mezonos, sometimes hamotzi. But sliced bread is going to be mezonos. That's impossible. How can it be? That's what Tosfos says. Hey Chimayri, what are they talking about? Of course you say hamotzi. What is there to discuss? Are they talking about a case where you have a shleima and a prusa? Shleima and a prusa. So the Gemara says later on, everybody agrees that you say it's preferable to say the bracha on the shleima. That's the hida mitzvah. The first bit of food that you eat is considered the chefta shal mitzvah with respect to the mitzvah with the rabbanon reciting brachas hananin. You want to have a hida mitzvah, so it's a hida mitzvah to recite the bracha over a shleima. This is on Amud Beis, quotes from the Yerushalmi, quotes from the Tosefta, a whole hierarchy. This is more important than that. The Yerushalmi and the Tosefta. This is more important than that. How do you determine which is more becovetive? The Tosefta is the Ramaskal, Abel Prusa Shalchit. They go to Tosefta, Perek Dalet, and then the Yerushalmi. So if you have a Prusa and a Shleima, of course you say the Broha and the Shleima. So what's the Machlekes when you say Mezainis, Amotzi, and Slice, but it doesn't make any sense. So Tosfos says, V'yesh loymar, so Tosfos gives a whole pshat. So the way it's printed by Yosef, it sounds a little strange. So on the side they tell you, they refer you to the Tosfos and Menachos Daf Ayin Hamed Beis. Tosfos and Menachos Daf Ayin Hamed Beis is the way it says in the Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda Silion, the way the Rosh quotes the Riyazok and Bala Tosfos, the way the Rabbeinu Yoda quotes it, all the Rishonim quote the Tosfos, the way it appears there in Menachos, not the way it says by Yosef, but Chaviv. Chaviv is a different story. Chaviv is if you have two different macholim, and I enjoy eating something, I enjoy eating the different min as opposed to this min, so that min is the min chaviv. But if you have two pieces of bread, what do you mean chaviv? It's not shach, talk about chaviv, so bread is bread. It's the same min of chitim, so it's all chaviv. The way the Tosfos is quoted there, Menachos and the Rosh and so on, the way all the Rishonim quoted, is as follows. When you go to a wedding, so the place where you wash, they usually have a bowl with broken pieces of bread. What is that all about? What do they need broken pieces of bread? Why don't they let everybody go in and say Hamoitzi, where they're going to sit later on? So the Hidur, the chumrah of having the broken piece of bread is because the Gemara says later, tekef l'netila brocha. So the original Gemara, tekef l'netila brocha, goes that right after washing mayim achronim, you should bench birchas hamazon. That mayim achronim, the Gemara has two reasons for mayim achronim. One reason is because melach sedom, they used to dip the bread into salt. Unless the bread is tasty, then you don't need salt. That's the Gemara in the next daf. Gemara's talking. The Gemara says if the bread tastes delicious, so you don't need any salt. But if the bread is not so tasty, our bread is tasty. It says that matzahs on Leil Pesach, you don't have to dip into salt because the matzahs taste delicious. Our bread all year long tastes delicious. So you never need any salt. So Tosfos says we have a minute to put salt on the table, not necessarily to salt the bread. because Melach was brought on the Mizbeach, so all the Karbonos on the Mizbeach are Mechaper, so we need a Kapora for Bitul Torah, because when everybody washes, so the one who's going to say Amotzi has to wait till everybody else is ready to say Amotzi. So there's Bitul Torah over there. So we need a kapara for the bittul Torah. So we have salt on the table to remind the Rabbanu Shalom that he made a bris melach, that he's going to forgive us, he's going to atone our sins. Okay, so it's a different story. So again, so Bizman and Gemara, we used to dip the bread into the salt when it wasn't so tasty. So sometimes you'll be using melach sedomis. And what's the problem with melach sedomis? Melach sedomis, if you get it into your eye, may be unhealthy. So they used to touch the salt with their fingers, and they used to rub their fingers in their eyes, like everybody today does, rub your fingers in your eyes, it's unhealthy. So melach sedomis misames einayim, so that's a sakana. So the Gemara says that mayim achreinim is an absolute chayva. The Gemara says in the end of the first perek in Erevin, that the soldiers in the army, in the Jewish army, if they don't have enough water to wash entilas yadayim, so they can eat bread without entilas yadayim. But mayim achreinim, there's no way they get away without washing mayim achreinim. There's not a sakana. They won't be able to see if they'll rub the melach sedomis in their eyes. So they won't be able to shoot straight. It's mesame sainayim. So that's one consideration why you need mayim achreinim. According to that consideration, it really has nothing to do with saying birchas hamazon. Let's say you didn't have mayim achreinim and you had a bench without, then you have to wash mayim achreinim afterwards. So you're not benching at all. You didn't have any bread, but you used salt in the middle of the meal. So you have to wash mayim achreinim to protect yourself from the sakana of melach sedomis, which is misames einayim. Then the Gemara has a different consideration, totally different consideration. The Gemara says kishem shemezuham pasul lekarben. If you have an animal that has a mum, so it's possible, even a mum oiver is possible to have krav. A mum oiver is going to get better by itself, so you can be makrovit later. But right now, Kozman, that it still has the mum oiver, you can't be makrovit. Let's say you have a carbon, on the books there's no mum. The Mishnayis, the series of Mishnayis, two prokim, two or three prokim in the middle of Chor is boring Mishnayis. For those who don't know biology like me, so boring Mishnayis. You don't know exactly what these things correspond to. It lists off what's called the balmum by people and what's called the balmin by the behemoths, by the korbanos. So let's say you have an animal and you check the whole list, absolutely has no mum, but it looks sickly. It's an old sick animal. It's not ready to drop dead, but it doesn't look pretty. But that's called mezuham. So Gemara learns that from a pasuk, kishem shem mezuham, pasuk lahakrava, even though it's not a balmum. Just like a behemoth mezuhemis, it's psula lahakrava, agav yemizbech. You're not allowed to say any bracha with your daim mezuham. It's lav dafke birchas hamazon. Let's say years ago they didn't have spoons and forks to eat with. So everybody, the minigolem was, everybody ate shirayim with their fingers. Not shirayim. Everybody ate, you ripped apart the animal like this and you would eat it with your hands. It's a modern, pretty recent thing that people eat with forks and spoons and knives and so on. So years ago, if you would, let's say you didn't wash, so you have to say shahakol, you have to say hadoma, you have to say mezaynus. Every course in the middle, you have to say another bracha. So the first course, you were eating with your fingers, so your fingers are all sticky. So the Gemara says you have to wash until it's yadayim between the first course and the second course. Then you have to wash this time between the second course and the third course. Because you're not allowed to say hadoma, you're not allowed to say shahakol, you're not allowed to say ha'etz. On the dessert with your daim mezuham, it's not only a din and birchas hamazon. Kishem shem mezuham pasul lehakrava kach your daim mezuham is psula is lebracha. So the Gemara has a din later on that take if lenatila bracha. Since this second consideration of mayim achreinim is not because the melach sedomis misames einayim has nothing to do with the sakana, has to do with preparation for the benching. So it's not right to be mafzik in between the netilas yadayim and the birchas hamazon. Tekef l'netilas yadayim bracha. So we assume that not only tekef l'netilas yadayim bracha goes mayim achreinim, you should say birchas hamazon later, it's tekef l'netilas yadayim bracha, you shouldn't be mafzik in between mayim rishonim and hamoitzi either. That's a shaila exactly how serious that has to be taken, tekef l'netilas yadayim bracha. That you're not allowed to be mafzik at all.
And with regards to the first reason on Melach Sedomis, why didn't, according to Tosafot, the Shechet says, because it's you have the chatzayim, you bring the minach on the tenth, it's like the korban. But why doesn't it also bring minach biadeno? Minach amaseh biadeno.
The minach that what?
The Yom Tanis is a, he brings back like Yom Tanis, where we keep 2 days Yom Tov, the minach amaseh biadeno. Why doesn't he bring it to minach that's over here as well?
The Gemara in Beitzah says they made a takana when they established the luach, and everybody knows when Yontif is, and there's no more sfeik of the yoma, so they sent the shalit to the rabbanim, the chachmei Babel, sent the shalit to the chachmei Eretz Yisrael, should we still continue to observe Yontif Sheni? Because there's no reason. So they made a takana, that we should still continue to observe it, either b'toras takana de rabbanim or b'toras minyan. It doesn't happen automatically. Let's say when you have a dovish of a minyan, tzoch minyan achal atir, when you have a takana de rabbanon that was instituted for a specific reason, even if you live in a generation where the reason no longer applies, the takana still is binding, unless you have a later bezin to repeal that enactment. But by minhogim, the poskim say that does not apply. Let's say you have a minyan that was instituted for reason X, you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply, so the whole minyan doesn't apply, it falls apart automatically. So yontiv sheni is a question, bisman that there was a real sveka diyayim. Was Yontif Sheni a din? Was it a real suffix deraisa? So the Netziv points out it wasn't, because they never fasted 2 days Yom Kippur. It was never a suffix deraisa l'chumah. Why not? So the Netziv in his commentary on Chumash, on Parsha Semor, by the Parsha Samoa, this writes that Ruba the Ruba of the years, Elul Hasamach, Elul was Choser. Elul is rarely Me'uber, either never Me'uber or rarely Me'uber. So you have a right to follow the Rebbe. So to Ador Hasamach Lenissen, either Adar Sheni or Ador, if it's a Shana Pshuta, so Ador. And if it's a Shana Muberes, then Adar Sheni is going to be Adar Hasamach Lenissen is also Chaser. Once in 200 years, they'll make it Molly, but it's not supposed to be Molly. So then it says, Mikir Adin, everybody really has a right to follow the Rove, that we know, if you knew when Rosh Chodesh Elul was, you knew when Rosh Chodesh Ador was, so have a right to assume that Elul and Ador have 29 days, and to establish when Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Pesach, and the Me'ilah Shavuos depends on Pesach, to observe all the Yom Tov based on their rites. So the whole Sfeik of the Yom, when they had the Sfeik of the Yom, it wasn't really a Sufik deraisa. It was a make-believe Sufik mederabbanan. On the level of deraisa, you had a right to follow the rite. So the Gemara has a machloikis in the beginning of Beitza, when they had the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, there's Machi Kitcho al Piyariya, and there was a real Sveka de Yoyma, so to speak. It wasn't a Sveka de Reis, it was Yantav Sheni de Rabbanon or Minik. That was also a Machloikis. And then after they established the Luach, so if it was a Minik before, so the whole reason for the Minik no longer applies. So then the Shalavot, should we still observe it? Or if it was a Takana de Rabbanon, so they said maybe we should repeal a Takana de Rabbanon now. Maybe we should no longer observe it. So the Chachamim said at the time that they fix the calendar, we should still continue to observe. But on Minhagim, Stam Minhagim, you don't say Dovish Minyan. If we observe the Minig in one generation because of there was a certain background, a certain consideration, and later generations that the reason for the Minig falls away, so the whole Minig falls away automatically. We have many Minhagim that we no longer observe. So this is a shaila. We follow this idea of tekef and netila bracha. The Gemara says there are three tekefs, shalosh tekefes things. So one of them is tekef and netila bracha. We follow it not only maimach, those who watch maimach reinim, tekef and netila bracha. You shouldn't talk in between maimach reinim and the birchas hamazon. Taisus writes in Chulin that they didn't wash maimach reinim because they didn't have any melech sedomis and they didn't have yadayim mizahamis. Why? They would touch their clothing, they would touch their svarim with their fingers. They weren't. How do you determine whether your hands are your diamonds or hummus? So it depends. Would you touch your shirt or would you touch your gemara or your notebook with these fingers? So today we're very touchy. We don't want to have greasy pages. Maybe years ago they were not so touchy. Maybe years ago they wiped off their fingers, whatever it was. And Taisa says neither reason apply. Neither the reason of melech sedomis nor the consideration of your diamonds or hummus. So they just didn't wash Mayim Achrayim. So we have this din of Tekef and Netilat Bracha, we have it by Mayim Rishonim also. So that's a shaila, how serious is that supposed to be taken? That Tekef and Netilat Bracha, that you're not allowed to be mafsik in between washing Netilat Yadayim Mayim Rishonim and Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. So the Nadi Behuda has two volumes of collected drushes that he published during his lifetime. So, and the Shabbos Shuva drushes, he used to give tachacha to the Balabatim, why they don't observe the dinim properly. So he printed those drushes also. That's why he has the drusha about eating the bagels, that the Balabatim made the bagels without washing the tilis yadayim, they said mezonos. And he was complaining, how can they say mezonos? I told you last year it's hamotzi, I have to say it again this year. There must be something wrong with me that I can't explain myself. He's prepared to resign from his rabbanus because the Balabatim are saying mezonos over the bagels. He says, there must be something wrong with me. Why he wasn't able to convey the message to the Balabatim? That's what he writes in his drushas. So in that drasha, in one of those drashas that he gave for Shabbos Shuva, so he complains about the fact that when the people are washing the tilis yadayim, this is a common practice today. Rabbanim do it like this. As they're washing the tilis yadayim, they're talking, carrying on a conversation about everything under the sun. Until they say the bracha, bracha on the tilis yadayim. After they say the bracha, they don't say bu, until after they say hamotzi. So he says the ike hefsik really is between the mitzvah washing and the reciting of the bracha, because in the Olam we have a klal kolam mitzvahs kulam mevarach aleim moiv las yosef. You should really say the birchas hamitzvah prior, immediately prior to performing the mitzvah. So you should really say the bracha until it's yadayim, before you wash. So the Balei HaTosfos had a minig that you don't say until it's yadayim till after you finish washing. But he said, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, if whoever wants to say the bracha before gezunta, hey, you can say it before also. The Balei HaTosfos developed such a minig because a lot of times a person just touched the shoes and a person just came out of the bathroom or something, so he's not allowed to say a bracha before he washes until the Zidar. So as a life log, in order not to make a mistake, so they developed such a minig. So the Mishnah, so the Nadi Behuda says, but the real din should really have been, not like this Balei HaTosfos, the real din should have been, you should have said the bracha before. And the bracha has to be mitzurif to the mitzvah. And let's say a person recites the bracha on the tilis yadayim, then he talks before he does the tilis yadayim. Then we would require that he should say a bracha again, because the bracha should be mitzurif to the mitzvah. Bracha, a person says the bracha lohaniach tefillin, and he talks before he puts on the tefillin. So he has to repeat the bracha. It's a bracha levatola. He has to repeat the bracha afterwards. So what do you do if you have a rare instance where you first perform the mitzvah and then you say the bracha afterward? Let's say when the women bench licht on Friday afternoon, so the women have such a practice that they light all the candles and then they say the bracha afterwards, because they have a minig that when we recite the bracha, la'adlik nesh al Shabbos, then mekabel Shabbos at that point, tosef is Shabbos. So if you're going to say the bracha prior to the hadlaka, so they're going to be mekabel Shabbos, so they won't be able to do the hadlaka. The Bikvega writes on Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't understand why they have such a funny minig. Why don't they accept to be mekabel tosef Shabbos when they finish hadlaka saneris? They say the bracha before and light the candles, and when you finish the hadlaka, then you mekabel. But that's the minig, notwithstanding Rabbi Kivega's time. Minig is that the women are mekabel Shabbos when they complete the bracha lahadlik neshal Shabbos. So if they're going to be mekabel, say the bracha first, then mekabel Shabbos, and then they're not allowed to light the neris. That's a malacha. So the minig of the women is that first they light the neris, then they say the bracha. So many women are mafsik. They finish lighting the candles and then they carry on a conversation and they say a tefillah and they give tzedakah, or they go to the kitchen, they put away the matches, they do all kinds of hafsok, and then they come back, start waving their hands and covering their eyes, and then they say the bracha. So that's not right. You're supposed to recite the bracha liyodim, you should really say the bracha eva lasiyasam. Elamah, you have a whole reason why you recite the bracha lachar asiyasam. So you're not allowed to be mafzik in between the mitzvah and the amiras habracha. So that's what the Nadi Behuda says. He says this is the ikya hefsik by washing tilis yadayim, really is from the time that you start to pour the water on your hands till the time that you say the bracha on tilis yadayim. That's the ikya din of hefsik. So that the bracha should be mitzurif to the mitzvah. If you would have said the bracha prior to the mitzvah, you would have had to repeat the bracha again if you would have talked. Now you did the mitzvah already, so you're reciting the bracha afterwards, so you got to make sure you don't talk in between the netilas yadayim and the bracha. That it should be mitzurif. The bracha should be mitzurif to the mitzvah. If you're going to talk, then the bracha you're going to say later is not going to be mitzurif to the mitzvah. So you already did the mitzvah without a bracha. The bracha is not miyaket. And the bracha you're going to say later is going to be a bracha latala. It's not going to be mitzurif. So he says it's not right that the people are mafsik in between the mitzvah's netila and the reciting of the bracha. But then after they already said the bracha, and then they're walking to the table, no. So he said, that's not so chomer that you're not allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to. He says, if somebody asks you a question, you can give a monosyllabic answer. Yes, no. He said, it's not really a din, that it's not a din of hefsik. Hefsik is in between a Birchas HaMitzvah and a Mitzvah, or between the Mitzvah and the Birchas HaMitzvah. If you do the Mitzvah first, then you say the Birchas HaMitzvah. It's a din not to carry on a conversation. So fine, you have a Midas Chassidus, not to talk at all. Okay, but Mochomer should have been, you shouldn't talk at all between the Netilas Yadayim and the Bracha. That's one of the things that he complains about. Yeah.
That's good. When you make the, you wash, you make the Netilas Yadayim, and then you make the Amot, you make Bracha Motzi. I mean, obviously you have to make the Bracha Motzi. Why is Bracha Motzi not a hefsek?
A hefsek between what and what?
Between the Netilas Yadayim and the Amot, eating the bread. Because the Netilas Yadayim is going on the midst of eating the bread.
So the bracha of hamotzi should be a hefsek. The Gemara says you can say kiddush in between the tilas yadayim and.
Why is it not considered?
It's tzorach hasuda. Tzorach hasuda. If you could have, you really could have brought the salt before. So even if you didn't bring the salt, so the Gemara says later, if you say havi maim, havi melach, the top line on the afnei mamon alpha say havi melach. So that's not a hefsek. Really, you should have said, you should have arranged that the salt should be there in advance. If you didn't arrange it, then that's not a hefsek. But over here, you have no choice. You have to say amoitzi before you. So whatever is letzorach hasuda is not a hefsek. Kiddush. And if a person, not al yada, if a person washes until the siddim, then he has no choice on Shabbos. He has to say kiddush. So the Gemara says on Friday night, the reciting of the kiddush will not be a hefsek. Most have the practice that you recite kiddush before you do it until the siddim. But if you already wash until the siddim, so then the Gemara says, not the Yodav is Mekadosh. You're allowed to say Kiddush because ain't Kiddush Yodav Makom Suda. You have to, you can't start the meal without saying Kiddush. So that's not a Hefsi. So you can't start eating the bread without saying Amoitzi. That's not going to be considered a Hefsi. You have no choice. That's the only way to do it. So Taisis, one of the three tkifas, the Gemara says shalosh tkifas. So one of the tkifas is a machlokes b'shama and b'silo. The Gemara has a whole discussion in Beitza in the second perek. Tekef l'smicha shchita. When you bring karbonos in the Beis Hamikdash, so let's say you're going to bring a korban on yontif, a korban that requires smicha. So smicha is a problem on yontif of mishtamish b'balichayim. They made a gzera de rabbanon also mishtamish b'balichayim. They made Xer the Rabbanan. You're not allowed to ride on a horse. Xer Hashem Yachtoch Zmoro. And then they extended it. Not only not allowed to ride on a horse, you're not allowed to be Mishtamish B'Balachayim at all. And including Mishtamish B'Balachayim, you're not allowed to lean on a Balchai. You're not allowed to lean on a Balchai in such a way. You're not allowed to lean on a tree. Also, Mishtamish B'Mechuber. You're not allowed to lean on a tree in such a way that if you would remove the tree, you would fall down. So that's called Mishtamish B'Mechuber. So the same Balchai. So the Gemara says that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of smicha by karbanos, he has to put his both hands smicha b'shtei yadayim. He has to lean on the animal b'chol koicha in such a fashion that if you were to take away the animal, the person would fall down. So that would have been, we spoke the other day, that would have been a violation of l'sava b'v'chol sherecha. That would have been an isur of gizah avodah. That's avodah b'kachim. That's why only men who are mechuyif to are permitted to do the smicha. Women are not mechuyif to, so they're not allowed to. So the shaila is, if you have to bring a korban on yontif and you got to do smicha on the korban, but there's a gzera de rabbanon also the shtamish b'balechai. So should we say that they lifted the gzera b'makom mitzvah, they permit you to do the smicha? And maybe we should say let the guy do the smicha on erev yontif. So the Gemara has a machlekes b'sham and b'silul in Chagiga in the second parak of Beitza. So the Gemara makes one suggestion. It's a little unclear what is the machlekes b'sham and b'silul. B'sham and b'silul is marabais. Hillel and Shammai were the chief rabbi and assistant chief rabbi 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's what the Gemara says in the first parak in Shabbos. Hillel and Shammai were Meir Shana lefnei Churban. And there was Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai was going on Bizman Abayis for 100 years. Almost 100 years. They didn't have Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai from day number one. But soon after, so they had for 95 years, they had Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai going on. And then years after the Churban Abayis, they continued. So they had this machloikis where they allowed to do smicha on the karbanis on Yonkah. The Gemara has different suggestions. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokes? So one suggestion is there really a requirement of Tekef L'Smicha Shechita? Beishamah, Gemara makes a suggestion. Beishamah say he could have done the Smicha yesterday. Do the Smicha on Erev Yantav, so he won't have to violate Mishtamish B'Balichayim on Yantav. And Beisilul are the ones who insist that Tekef L'Smicha Shechita. You cannot be out to the Smicha by doing Erev Yantav. You have to do the Smicha immediately prior to the Shechita HaKarbon. So the Gemara talks about this din of Tekef L'Smicha Shechita. So the Gemara says there was a certain location in the Beis Hamikdash where we used to shech the karbanas. And the Gemara says if you're going to be standing far away, that's going to be a violation of tekef lismicha shchita. So Tosis wants to know how far away is the violation of tekef lismicha shchita. The Gemara says he has to do the smicha in the Azara. If he's going to do the smicha outside of the Azara, it'll be a violation of tekef lismicha shchita. Why is it going to be a violation? How long is it going to take? Let's say he's going to stand outside the Azara, do the smicha, and then they'll take the animal in. So they'll take 2 minutes later. So 2 minutes is a violation of tekef lismicha shchita. So Tosis says it must have to do with the distance that it takes, the distance that you're walking. And the makam of shchita, skola karbanos, there were taboas on the floor. There were like now in the slaughterhouses, they have locations where they hold the animal down so to enable the shechet to shech. Otherwise, Bem is going to run around all over the place. Years ago, they used to have people hold down the animal, and now they have special things to hold down. So the Beis Hamikdash had taboas, they had big rings to hold the animal's head in the ring. It shouldn't jump around. So Tosis points out that these tabots were 22 amas away from the Pesach or Azorah. So you see from the Gemara, Tosis says that if you walk 22 amas, that's a violation of tekef l'smicha shchita. So that's Tosis Chiddush. All the Achrayim say they're not convinced. It's not because you walk in 22 amas, because that's in an outside room and this is an inside room. They're two different rooms. If it's in the same room, it could be 100 amas away. The same room is the same location. That's tekef. And it can be a different room 2 amas away. And it'll be a violation of tekef l'smicha shchita. So that's how it's assumed in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramor quotes this thesis that if you walk more than 22 amas, it's a violation of tekef l'smicha shchita. Because outside of the Azara was 22 amas away from the Mokam HaTavoh, it's the Mokam HaShchita in the Azara. And Tosis says, you see, for the Gemara, you got to do the smicha in the Azara, not out of the Azara. It'll be a violation of tekef. So the Rambam quotes that Tosis. You shouldn't, by Hamotzi, you shouldn't walk more than 22 amas. You shouldn't walk 22 amas or more. And the Achrayim say they're not so convinced that that's the pshat. It depends whether it's in the same room or in a different room. So that's why, because of this Rambam with the Tosis, so that's why at weddings, even if they'll have the place to wash and tilis adayim in the same room where everybody's going to eat the meal, if it's outside of the room, so you're going to have both. It's going to be 22 amas away, plus it's going to be from one room to the other. So that'll be a violation of tekef l'smicha shchita. And even if it's going to be in the same room, you're washing tilis adayim in the same room you're going to, where all the tables are set to eat, very often the person's going to have to walk 22 amas. So that'll be a violation. According to this test, that'll be a violation of tekef l'smicha shchita. So the Achrayim give a suggestion. The Achrayim give a suggestion. They say, let's say if it's from one room to the other, or even in the same room, but it's going to be 22 amas, you don't want to violate tekef l'smicha shchita. So they say, you don't want to violate tekef l'netila bracha. You don't want to have too long a hefzik in between the netilas yadayim, the gemara, the netilas yadayim rishonim, and the hamotzi lechem min haaretz. So they say you're not finished with the netilas yadayim and until you finish the niguf. The Gemara says in the first parak in Soita that if a person hochel beloy niguf ki loichel lechem tamin, if a person washes the netilas yadayim and he doesn't dry his hands at all, his hands are sopping wet, and then takes a sandwich and eats and says hamotzi, says ki loichel lechem tamin. What kind of a lashon is that? So there's a long Rashi over there. What did he do that's wrong? What exactly is wrong? So kol panim, you see from that Gemara that the niguf, the drying of the hands, is considered the Gemara of Netilas Yadayim. You're not finished by just doing the Netilas Yadayim. That's Tosis' justification. How did they introduce such a practice to recite the Bracha Netilas Yadayim after washing Hamotzi? It's a violation of Vayvelas Yasam. Aren't you supposed to say the Bracha before you wash Netilas Yadayim? The Tosis gives the whole explanation. Well, sometimes a guy touched the shoes and sometimes he came to the Beis HaKisa, he's not allowed to say a Bracha. But still, sof kol sof, but you're not supposed to say the Bracha L'achar HaSiyosam. So he says, no, it's a little bit over L'Asiyosam because you didn't dry your hands yet. So since you didn't dry your hands yet, so you didn't finish the mitzvah yet. More correct is, he's supposed to say the Bracha. The Yerushalmi has two opinions. When the Halacha requires kol mitzvahs kulam b'rach aleim over L'Asiyosam, those over L'Asiyosam means before you begin performing the mitzvah, let's say the mitzvah b'dikas chametz takes an hour. So do you have to recite the Bracha before you begin to do the whole mitzvah of B'dikas Chametz, so before you begin to do the whole The whole mitzvah of netilah said, "Daim tilas dan." You have to wash, pour water on the right hand, pour water on the left hand, dry hands. It takes a while. It takes a half a minute. So Yerushalmi has two opinions. Do you have to recite the bracha before you begin the whole procedure of the ma'isa mitzvah, or is it sufficient for the purpose of oivel asiyasam to say the bracha in the middle of the procedure of the mitzvah before you complete it? So we paskin, you got to say the bracha oivel asiyasam before you begin, not before you finish the mitzvah. But Tosfos says, but the evet purposes, it's not really lachar asiyasam over here, because you're saying the bracha on the tilas dan before you dry your hands. So it's a little bit oivel asiyasam. It's not completely lachar asiyasam. So the achrayim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim that, let's say, if a person dries his hands and he throws the paper in the garbage, let's say, he dries his hands with a towel. So the hands are still a little bit moist. Even after you finish drying, they're still a little bit moist. So if you keep on rubbing your hands as you're walking your 22 amas, your 56 amas, whatever, till you sit down, so whether you wash in one room and you're going to eat in the other room, or you wash in the same room and you're going to walk more than 22 amas, if you keep on rubbing your hands together, so you're still continuing to dry your hands, so you still didn't finish the netilas yadayim. So don't finish rubbing your hands until you sit down. So you didn't walk 22 amas? You just finished the mitzvah on the netilas yadayim now, and then you're going to say hamaitzi right away. That's why you'll see Europeans, they're always rubbing their hands. After they wash netilas yadayim, before they say hamaitzi, because you keep on rubbing their hands together. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim. They should continue to rub your hands, and there won't be a hefsek between the gemar of the mitzvah and the tilas yadayim and the hamoitzi, because of this concern of tekef l'netila bracha. So that's why they instituted at all the weddings, they have a bowl with sliced rolls, and whoever doesn't want to have an esek of tekef l'netila bracha, they want to say hamoitzi right away. So here they provide you with cut up chalosh and you can say hamoitzi right away. So that's what Tosfos learns, that's what the Gemara here is discussing. Is that practice proper or not? You have an option over here. The caterer cut up slices of bread, so everyone should say hamotzi right after they wash. But when you get to your seat, you're going to have shleima. So which is preferable? Is it preferable to say hamotzi on the shleima? Or do you say no? This started off as a shleima. The caterer started off, he took a shleima and he cut it up specifically for the people to say hamotzi in order that they should avoid a long pause between the netilas yadayim and the bracha. So maybe that's the same as taking a shleima and breaking it now. What's the difference whether the caterer cut up the shleima to accommodate all of the guests at the wedding? So you're saying, I'm going to have a shleima also. It was a shleima. 5 minutes ago, it was a shleima. They cut it up for you. They cut it up for all the 500 people who are attending the wedding. Or do you say, no, I have to say a hamotzi on the shleima. Tosfos learns, we'll see in a minute. That's the machlokes in the Gemara. That's right. You should say all that before you begin to wash. That's what the Nadi Behuda says. That's the Ike Hepsik.
That's because another way that you mentioned is against all these kavanas and all these things. Maybe that's why. You mentioned that another way that is against
That's another Nadi Behuda. It's the post of the Shem Yichud. Those was composed by the Hasidim. Mrs. Nadi Behuda was a cousin of the Baal Shem Tov. For a while they lived in the same village. Before Nadi Behuda was a rabbi in Prague, in the big city, he was first a rabbi in the little village. So there was a while that they lived in the same village together. And he wasn't happy about the whole movement of Chassidus. He has all tshuva against the reciting of the Shem Yichud. He says it's against the halacha. A person has to say he's doing the mitzvah of Shem Shammai. Stam l'shmankoi. The Gemara says in the first daf in Zvachim, when you bring karbonis, we assume Stam l'shman, and the Rishayim say it applies to all mitzvahs, lav davka korbanos. So reciting the Shem Yichud is a demonstration that you're not following the halacha. The halacha says Stam l'shman, so you don't have to make a declaration that I'm doing it l'shem mitzvah.
A lot of people have the custom of saying that they're shuk before they make the bracha. Does that also fall into the same category?
No, v'shus if I'm being mighty somebody else. So if you're drinking wine, so it's the goyim say masbir malayin and marshim malapas. If you want the other people to be yotze with your hamotzi, so you say bishus. If you want the other people to be yotze with the kiddush, you say bor piragof, and then you say savri. Then you say savri. That's it. There's a machlokes when a couple gets married under the chuppah. What should the rabbi say before bor piragof? Should he say savri or should he say bishus? So the meaning is that the rabbi doesn't want to get involved in the machlokes, so he says neither. So that's not right. You should really say, pay attention. You should tell the chazal, pay attention, the bor piragofen is for you. I'm not going to drink the wine. A lot of times the rabbi says the bar piyal gofna, chas and kal not paying attention. They're talking, they're schmoozing away. The rabbi doesn't drink the wine, the chas and kal drink without the benefit of a bracha, because they weren't paying attention to the rabbi's bracha. They were staring at each other in the eye, they're talking under the chuppah, they're talking in between the birchas eris and then they're drinking the wine. So that's it. So you gotta say, pay attention. So either you say sabri or say mishus. Rav Soloveitchik used to say sabri. The Nachla Shiva quotes the Machlokes, whether the Masada Kedushin should say sabri or mishus. No, so that's litzorech habracha. You gotta tell all the people, mishus, pay attention, I'm saying hamoitzi for you. If you're not gonna pay attention, you won't be yoitz. That's like Havi Melach. But Havi Melach, you should really see to it in advance that the Melach should be on the table. So you should avoid having to be mafsik to say Havi Melach. Let's say by a chuppah. So a lot of rabbanim have the practice. The rabbi says, the bichas erisin, shekashan so vitzvan, the karasham is the chuppah likidushin. Then the chosen kal take a sip of wine. Then they call up the edikidushin. Then the rabbi starts asking, is it your ring? Is it Shavu Pruta? He starts to hold. He should have done all that before he says the Bichas Erisin. But the Eved, if he didn't do it, if he didn't bring the Melach before he said Amoitzi, so then you're allowed to say Havi Melach. But L'chatchil is supposed to bring the salt. The Gemara said L'chatchil is supposed to bring the salt. Ein Abatzer HaSholav Tash Yavim Melach. He's supposed to bring the salt before you say Amoitzi. That's for the Eved, if he didn't take care of it. So here, you want to call up the Edom, so call them before you say Birchas Erisin. And ask the Chassan, did you pay for the ring? Is it your ring? Whatever. Is it Shavu Pruta? Whatever questions you want to ask, the rabbi should really ask all of these before the Birchas Erisin. That's a din. You're not allowed to be mafsik. The tziruf that's needed between the Birchas HaMitzvah and the Mitzvah is more serious than the tziruf that's needed between Birchas HaNenin and eating the food. That's a Tosfos in Psochim shows like that. The Gemara says that all year long, let's say, when a balabos says hamoitzi, and then he cuts up the challah and he gives all the people some challah to eat. So did anybody say that every guest has to have a challah by his own plate? Nobody says like that. But it's a hepsik between hamoitzi and the achilas hamatzah. So that's not called a hepsik. He says hamoitzi, he cuts the challah, he distributes it to everybody. That's not a hepsik. On Pesach night, it's a machlokes. Why? Because in addition to saying hamoitzi birchas hanen and eating, you have to say birchas hamitzvah asher kedushon b'mitzvos v'tzvana al achilas matzah. And the halacha requires kol mitzvos kulam baruch aleim over las yosim. And over means not koidim. Over means not over the over. Take it from yad immediately prior to performing the mitzvah. So one opinion in the Gemara is that opinion was rejected. One opinion in the Gemara, the last parak from Sochem, is that you have to have matzah lefnei kol echad v'echad. If you're going to do like you do all year long, only matzah lefnei the balabayis, and then he's going to distribute matzah to all of the guests, so then it won't be a problem of birchas hanen and mitzuruf to the achila. That's not a problem, but it'll be a problem of the birchas hamitzvah. There's too long a pause in between the birchas hamitzvah and the mitzvah. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, we do the same as all year long. We don't have to have matzah lefnei kol echad v'echad. But there was one opinion in the Gemara, not so, that you need more of a tziruf between the Birchas HaMitzvah and the Mitzvah than you do between the Birchas HaNenen and the Achila. So that's not really right, that if the Gemara says that you shouldn't say Hamoitzi before you have the Melach, b'dieved, if you didn't have the Melach, then you can say Havi Melach. So for sure, l'chatchila, the rabbi shouldn't say the Birchas Erisin before they call up the Edom and before he asks the Edom, are they related? Whatever questions he wants to ask, he should ask all the questions before he says the Birchas HaMitzvah. So that the mitzvah of the Kiddushin should be done immediately following the Birchas HaMitzvah. You shouldn't pause. You gotta drink the wine before. You don't tell him to say, Harei HaMekudesh Shlei, then drink the wine. You gotta drink the wine before that. You said a bracha lakos. We recited Birchas HaSeris and alakos. So I'm a rach tzorach sheyitam, but that's it. So you drink the wine, and then the next thing should be to perform the mitzvah. So again, so this was the practice that Rav Chiya bar Rashi is talking about. The caterer takes shleimas and he cuts them up and he wants everybody to be able to say hamoitzi right away after they wash until it's done, so they shouldn't be in violation of tekef l'netila bracha. So the shaila is, well, there's a lachatchila, there's a hid lachatchila to say hamoitzi over a shleima, and everybody agrees to that. That's on lamites on the days. So the shaila is, but when you say hamoitzi on a shleima, then you cut it. You're not going to take the whole gigantic challah, let's say a wedding. The challah is so big. You're not going to take the whole challah, bite into it. You're going to take a knife and cut off a slice. So what's the difference whether the caterer cut off the slice before, or you cut it off in conjunction with the bracha? So that's what he says. Pas tnumen mekayim, bracha ala amaitzim. Perfect. What's wrong? It's called shleima. Upliya the Rav Chiya. This is in disagreement with Rav Chiya. Not the Rav Chiya says that you say mezainus. No, Taisa says no one holds that you say mezainus. Everybody agrees that it's amaitzim. Rav Chiya says that that's a violation of the lachatchila of shleima. It's not enough that they took the caterer, took a shleima, and he cut it up on behalf of all of the guests. No, each and every individual person is saying amaitzi should complete cutting the bread with the completion of the bracha. You should cut through the bread halfway. Then you shouldn't say amaitzi first and then cut the bread. Because that's a pause, that's too much of a pause between the Birchas HaMoitzi and the Achila. So Rav Chiya is of the opinion you should start cutting through the bread halfway. And then he holds, as you finish Lechem Min Ha'aretz, you should complete the cutting of the bread simultaneously with the completion of the Bruch. Then the Gemara says, Maskeh Lo Rava, I don't understand, what do you gain? Rava says, I don't understand, what do you gain if you finish Lechem Min Ha'aretz with the cutting of the bread? When you finish the bracha, it's a prusa. So you gain nothing. So you may as well do like Rav Chiya Barashi said. Have the caterer cut it all up in advance. Maskif lo rava, maishnat tznuma delo. Why do you say that the caterer is cutting up in little pieces? It's not acceptable. Mshum chikal ya bracha prusa kakal. Because you're not saying a bracha on a shlema. So he says, ala pas nami. If you, Rav Chiya, say, Rav Chiya says, toshitich le bracha ima pas, as you're finishing, you should complete cutting the bread. Piko gomra, prusa gomra. When he finishes the bracha, it's not a shleima anymore. Elam, Rabbi says no. I agree with Rav Chiya. I don't agree with Rav Chiya Barashi that we should have the caterer cut the bread in advance. Cut the bread in advance is not a shleima. But I am more extreme than Rav Chiya. He says you should always cut halfway through the bread. When you finish the bracha, lechem in haaretz, then you should cut simultaneously with the completion of the bracha, you should cut the bottom of the challah. He disagrees. He says you shouldn't complete the cutting of the challah. Elam Rav Mevarech, first he finishes the whole bracha, v'achakach botzeya, and then he cuts. Here the Tosis has two pshatim. So the pshat, Tosis says on the second line, on the top of Lamentesim Mevesvi, Yesh Nag Mevarech Birchas HaMoitzi, Kodim Sheyachtoch. Some understood, the Gemara says, Hilchas Sikirov, Yom Mevarech v'achakach botzeya. The Gemara says, Machlekes, Rav Chiya and Rav, and some followed Rav Chiya, and we passed in Lalocha like Rav. So what did Rav say? Mevarach v'achakach botzeh. So yesh noagim, there were those Rishonim who understood in the Gemara that Rav holds you don't begin to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam until after he finishes the whole bracha. He should say Amotzi lach min ha'aretz, and then he should cut through the chal. Then he should cut through the bread. So Taisa says, no, that's too much of a hefsek. That's not right. You want to minimize the hefsek between the birchas hanen and the eating as much as possible. You don't rely lachatchila that you're going to say havi melach later on. You don't rely lachatchila you're going to cut the bread later on. You have to try to minimize as much as possible the hefsek between the birchas hamoitzi, the birchas hanen, and the achila. But on the other hand, Rava disagrees in this one detail with Rav Chiya. Whereas Rav Chiya says you should pronounce lechem min ha'aretz with the completion of the cutting of the bread simultaneously. So Rava says, no, you got to have that it should be a shlema at the time that you finish the bracha, not that simultaneously it's becoming a prusa. So Rava says, mevarach v'chakach botzeh, you should finish the bracha before you finish the cutting. The beginning of the cutting you should cut 3/4 of the way through the challah, you should cut before you say hamoitzi. And then you should finish the bracha, lechem min ha'aretz, before you cut the bottom part. So how do you decide how much of the challah you should cut through? 1/4, half, 3/4, 5/8, 7/8. How much do you cut through? So the Tosfos doesn't explain that much. So the Rosh adds on. The Rosh adds on over here. So the Rosh says like this. You want that it should be a shlema. You want that the challah should be a shlema. So what's the din? If you have a rye bread, or you have a loaf of bread, and someone cut through halfway through the loaf of bread, but it's still connected on the bottom, is that called the shleima, or is that called the prusa? So the Rosh says, well, let's look in the Mishnayos. The din is for Kabbalah Stuma, Magim and Mitzasa can Magim and Kula. Let's say there's a long Italian bread, and I'm Tomei, and I touch this end of the bread. So the whole bread becomes Tomei. Let's say I'm an Avatume. So the bread that I touch is going to become a region Tomei. I don't have to touch every single inch of the bread. You don't say I touched the bread, so the only Makam Agoy became Tomei Rishon, and then the next slice is touching the first slice, or Shaila, the first piece is touching the second. No, it's all one loaf of bread, it's all one chibur, it's one unit. So since it's one unit, so that's the halacha. Magim mitzasa kemagliku. If a person has a drink, he has a cup of tea. So he Adam Tomei sticks his finger in, so you don't just say the upper layer of tea is Tomei, and the bottom part is touching the upper part. No, all of the mashke is one big unit. It's considered one big chibur. Gemara has a machlokes hatanayim. What if you have shemen with yayin in the same cup? So the shemen flows to the top and the yayin is going to be on the bottom. Is that considered a chibur or not? That's machlokes hatanayim. Is that considered one unit or is that considered two units? But if you have yayin or mayim, so the yayin or the mayim is considered one unit, is one chibur. So the mishnayis have a machlokes or a mayor of a rabbiude. You have a loaf of bread that's cut halfway down. In the bottom part, the bottom crust is still intact. So an Adam Tomei touches this side. So you say the whole loaf of bread is one unit. So Magim Mitzasa Kemagim Kula, even the other half becomes Tomei. Or do you say no? They're two different pieces. Let's say you have sliced bread. And the person touched one slice. So let's say you have a bowl of Cheerios, a bowl of Wheaties. The Adam Tomei touches one. So the Pashto should be that Magim Mitzasa is not Kemagim Kula. That one Cheerio that I touched, that becomes Tomei. The Wheaties that I touched, the one that I touched becomes Tomei. The others are not Chibur. Each one is a separate unit. So if you have sliced bread, completely sliced, and I touch the other, and Tomei touches one slice, so the other slices will not be Tomei because of my Maga. Maybe a slice that touches a slice that's a slice Tahar touches a slice that's Tomei. What's the din? Will it become Tomei? It won't. So you'll have to figure out what the din is. What's the din? Ezechel metame yoichel anah. So there's a machlokes hatanoim. What if the bread is sliced halfway? How do you determine whether it's chibur or it's not chibur? How much do you say less than 50%? If it's held together with less than 50%, nechtach rubo, rubo kukuloi, so it's considered as if it's two different slices. Is that what it depends on? So the tanoim do not say like that. It doesn't depend on rubo kukuloi. They say it depends. If you have the bread is sliced in half, you have the bread is sliced halfway down, not all the way. If you would pick up this part, but the other part fall away, or if you pick up this part, but the other part fall away. So, which does it depend on? If you pick up which part? Let's say you have the bulk of the bread is over here, and there's a little slice over here. So if you pick up the heavy part, the light part will go along with the heavy part. Pick up the light part, the heavy part will fall off. The light part is not so mechuber that the heavy part, which weighs 10 times as much as the light part, that's going to go along. So that, the Rosh quotes, that's a machlekes satanoi. Machlekes Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir and the Mishnah with this Rosh on our daf. Which simon? Yutes. Kach Shanin at the end of Simon Yutes, he refers you to a Mishnah Maseches Tul Yom. In order to say Hamoitz, you have to know Mishnah is Taris. That's why the Kamarin that wrote it, Pirish on Mishnah is Taris. Okay. So he says there's a Mishnah Paragimel, Mishnah Aleph, and Tul Yom, where there's a Machlokes Hatanoim. Rameir says, in Moches Bigodol Hakot Noelima Harehu Kamohu. If you hold on to the larger piece, will the small piece not fall off? Then it's considered one unit. You don't have to be able to hold on to the smaller piece and the larger piece should come along. That's usually not going to happen. But if you hold on to the larger piece, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he holds for ket. So it's a machlekes Rameh Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rosh says, whenever the machlekes Rameh Rabbi Yehuda, halachic Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, l'chumre. The only time it's considered still a shlema, it's not considered a prusa, is if you could have held on to the cotton, the smaller one, but I think some other Rishonim have the girsa fakir. No? The other Rishonim have the girsa, the Rameh Rav Yehuda, the names are reversed. So, whenever you have a machlekes Rameh Rav Yehuda, we pass like Rav Yehuda, but the question is, which way did Rav Yehuda say? So the Rosh has it the Chumra Dika way. The other Rishonim have it the Kula Dika way. So again, so you want to... You have two contradictory considerations, two opposing considerations. On the one hand, you want to minimize the hefsik as much as possible in between the bracha and the achila. So you want to cut halfway through. But if you're going to cut too far through and you hold the cotton and the goyla is not going to be a oila imoy, then it's not going to be a shlema. So on the one hand, you want to minimize the hefsik. On the other hand, you want to make sure that you still have a shlema. So then, after you've cut through, halfway through, so then starts the machlokes between Rav Chiya and Rava. So Rav Chiya says you should complete the bracha lechem min haaretz with the completion of the slicing of the bottom section of the bread. And Rava disagrees, no, mevarech v'achakach potzeh. Let him finish the whole lechem min haaretz and then cut the bottom part. Not like the Yesh Nogim and Tosfos. There were those Rishonim who misunderstood the Gemara. They thought mevarech v'achakach potzeh means you don't begin to cut into the chal at all. So Tosfos and the Rosh say, no, that's not right. You want to minimize the hefsek as much as possible. Then the Gemara says, we pass like Rava. So you should complete the phrase, habotzeh lechem min haaretz, before you cut the bottom part. Then Tosfos throws in, but we gotta wait a second. There's another Gemara, Mem Zayin. We left out another Gemara. The Gemara says when you say Hamaytzi for a whole group of people and they all answer Amen, so the Amen that they answer is considered as if it's a Hemshech of my bracha. So I shouldn't cut the bottom part of the challah till everybody finishes answering Amen. So I should cut halfway through the challah, and then I should say on the weekdays. I should cut halfway through the challah on the weekdays and then begin saying the bracha. And then finish, we pass like Rava. After I say Motzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, and everybody says Amen, after they all answer Amen, then I should cut the bottom part of the challah. That's what they quoted. The Perek Shlosh Shoch LaDaf Mem Zayin Maskin, and the Gemara's conclusion is, the Binon, Ashetich Lo Amen Mepi Ha'onim, Shelo Yivtza Kodim, we shouldn't complete the cutting of the challah until all of the people answered Amen. Because the Anios Amen is considered the hemshech of the bracha, so it's considered like you're cutting the challah before you finish the bracha. Before they answer the amen is before you finish the bracha. Then Tosfos says that all these rules and regulations, what we just worked out, this is only for the weekdays. But if it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, well, we want to have lecha mishneh. So we wouldn't do this. Why? Miu b'Shabbos on the fourth line from the top of the Tosfos, the first narrow line. Miu b'Shabbos nochan lahachmal lebarach kodim sheyachto. On the weekdays we cut halfway through before we begin to say the bracha moitzi in order to minimize the hefsek. On Shabbos and Yontif we wouldn't do like that because on Shabbos and Yontif we require lechem mishnah zeichel amon, and Tosfos assumes that lechem mishnah is only if they're shleimos. That's a shad. Is that really so? Lechem mishnah is only if they're shleimos. Why? Because we're afraid Shalak Tishamid Yodlov Tzelkam Shetich LaBrach Shaz Lila Lecha Mishnah. He'll be missing Lecha Mishnah. The Netziv has a tshuva in the Meshav Dover where he records that the meeting in the yeshiva and Valajan was they had a certain number of rolls on Shabbos. So Friday night they used up one third of the roll. Shabbos morning used the second third of the roll. Shalosh Shudas used the third of the roll. So whoever came late to Shalosh Shudas didn't get any shlemas. So they would have a lot of cut rolls there. Mistama, they followed the practice of the Vilna Goyen. The Gemara says later, the Vilna Goyen follows the Rashba. That on Shabbos, when you have Lecha Mishnah, you have to cut both challahs. If you only cut one, so the one that you didn't cut, it's like it's still in the bakery. Like it's still in the freezer. It doesn't count. So Mistama and Valojin, it was founded by Rav Chaim Valojin, he followed all the Minhagim. He also had that meaning of the Vilna Goyen, to follow the Rashba. The Gemara says later, Botza Kula Sheirusa. Rab Zera Habibotza Kula Sheirusa, he cut the both chalas. He broke the both matzahs. So whoever came late to Shalosh Shudas, all the chalas were broken already. Everything was ripped, so there were no shlemas anymore. So he records that the meeting in the yeshiva was that the bachrim who came late, the talmidim who came late, would take two prusas and say Hamoitziana. So he discusses, do you gain anything by taking two prusas? So he says he thinks that yes, even though more correct is to take two shlemas. That's if it's available. But it's not available, so you want to have a Zeich HaLamon, that there was Lecha Mishnah, so take two prusas is a partial fulfillment of the din of Lecha Mishnah. Let's say some people, Shabbos morning, a lot of people make Kiddush in Shul and then they have cake. A lot of people at home, they say Kiddush at home, then they have cake. Relying on the Kula in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlekes that the Goyim were of the opinion that if you have cake, that's considered Kiddush b'makom Suda. The only Goyim says he thinks we should paskin like the Rosh and Arvei Pesachim, that it's only considered Kiddush b'makom Suda if you're going to wash and have a moitzi. Because you're only yotze the Suda Shabbos by washing. If you have mezainis, you're not yotze. You have to have pas. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Kula from the Goyim that the Goyim hold that if you have cake, is good enough. So the Netziv would recommend that you should take two cookies, you should take, let's say, sliced cakes, you should take two slices of cake in order to have Lecha Mishnah. It's prusa. More correct is to have two shlemas. But if you have two prusas, that'll also be Lecha Mishnah. If you have two cookies, that's two shlemas. If you have no cookies, nothing shalem, everything is cut cake, they should have two pieces of cake. That'll be a Lecha Mishnah. So Tosis is recommending over here, Mi'u b'Shabbos, you should not cut halfway through, because by afraid Shema Shaloi Tishamad Yodah, maybe he'll make a mistake and he'll cut all the way through, and then it'll come out that he won't have Lecha Mishnah. So the way the Netziv says, not that you won't be Yotzi Lecha Mishnah at all, you still have Lecha Mishnah. Still have Lecha Mishnah. Even on two prusas, this is also Lecha Mishnah. But more correct is, for the purpose of a Lecha Mishnah, we'll more medakta, you should have Lecha Mishnah Shlemis, as opposed to having Lecha Mishnah prusas. So that's how Tosfos understood this Gemara. Not that there's a Shaila. Rashi is, we're not sure exactly what Rashi learned in the Gemara. Rashi raises a possibility here that on sliced bread you say Mezainis. Instead of saying Amoitzi, Tosfos says, Le'nitan Le'yomer. We just spent so much time on Lamed Zayin, on Chavitze, and the Tosefta and Omer Aleph there, Lamed Zayin. How can you say that it's Mezainis? About it's Amoitzi. So Tosfos learns that's the Shaila. They took a shlema and they cut it up specifically in advance of an Atubas Yadayim that everybody should be able to say Amoitzi right away. So the first opinion of Chayav Rashi says, fine, that's called shlema. You started off with a shlema. They cut it up to cover the guests. That is called shlema. And we don't accept that opinion. We follow either Rabchia or Rava. And the Gemara concludes, we follow Rava. You should complete the bracha Hamotzi lechem min haaretz before you cut the bottom part of the bread.
So what they put
out the prusas. Right. So the way we pass, and you shouldn't say Hamotzi on those prusas. But you have a problem. Take it from the bracha. So you should keep on drying your hands. Okay. So you rub your hands together.
Now they give in some places a little
shlemas. Okay. You give you shlemas is good. Okay.
No problem saying standing at Shinui Mokom.
Shinui Mokom. Shinui Mokom, we're going to have to get to that too. Okay. I have to get to that too. Again, what's the problem by the Seder? What's the problem by the Seder? Some Shem say that the Ike Mitzvah Smatzah is Dafi Kodmah, yeah. But you still say Amoitzah in the beginning. You gotta say Amoitzah in the beginning also. You eat Matzah in the beginning. Yeah.
Is there a problem with saying these brachas? The bracha saying, let's say you got Shlem is at the venue place, you say it's standing, and let's say from the same room, there's no makro, there's no shalat, shinui makro. Is it different to say it's standing up or to say it's sitting down?
That's when he raised the question. We have to learn the din of Shin Mar. The Mar says you have to recite Birchas Hamazon in a sitting position.
Right.
Doesn't say you got to say Hamoitzi in a sitting position. You got to say where was that Gemara? The end of Shlosha Shachlu. Okay, the last Gemara. Hilchas Abakula Yoshev and Mavar. That's the last line in the Perek on Nun Aleph Amebeis. The Gemara says Birchas Hamazon has to be recited in a sitting position. Hamoitzi you can say while you're standing. It can't be Moitzi the other people. If one person is going to say Hamoitzi, to be Moitzi everybody else. So the Gemara says you have to have Haseba. And Tosfos says we don't do Haseba. So Yeshiva the Don can't save the two. You have to have everybody sitting around the table. That's to be Moitzi the others. But for yourself, you can say the Bracha standing also. Shabbos Shina Mokim, let's say, if they'll give you a Shlema and you're eating and you're washing until Sadaim in one room, then you're going to eat in the other room. Is that an issue of Shina Mokim? So we'll have to learn the Gemara. So the rule is that it's not Shina Mokim. Yicheder lecheder bosa bais is not shinu makom. If it's daita lekach, so here it's clearly daita lekach. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
He said according to the Geonim, it's considered vessel that.
It's considered Kiddush B'Mokam Asuda. The Din the Gemara says that Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Do you have to recite Kiddush B'Mokam Asuda, or can you be Yotze Kiddush in Shul and then go eat the Suda at home? So we paskin that nobody's Yotze with the Kiddush in Shul, because the Kiddush has to be B'Mokam Asuda. Kiddush has to be B'Mokam Asuda. So it has to be in the same room. Yeah. So the Goyim are of the opinion that Kiddush B'Mokam Asuda doesn't necessarily require pas, even though for the Suda Shabbos you need pas. But if you have mezainis, that satisfies the requirement that kiddush b'makom suda.
Well, so maybe you could ask the suda on the themselves, and then you should say amotzi.
No. If he wants to be kaveh suda on the mezainis, then he has to say amotzi. He probably doesn't want to. He doesn't plan to be kaveh suda. There is an opinion in the Rishonim which is not accepted l'alacha. There is an opinion. The Gemara says in the end of Beitza that. If you have tevel, you're not permitted to eat it until you mafresh trumas and maisers. When is it considered tevel? If you had miruach and riyas p'nei abayis. What if you didn't yet have the riyas p'nei abayis? You had miruach and you didn't have riyas p'nei abayis. So in our Torah, there's no iser of eating tevel, but with the rabbanon, the din is that you're not allowed to eat achilas keva. If you eat achilas keva, then it's tevel with the rabbanon. So what's considered achilas keva? So either he eats a ton of food, that's called achilas keva, or whatever you eat on Shabbos is called achilas keva, or if you salt it, or if you cook it, or if you bought it, mekach is keva, melch is keva, bishul is keva. So the Gemara says that Shabbos kovas, whatever food you eat on Shabbos is called achilas keva, it makes it tevel. So that's one opinion in the Rishonim, that whenever you eat cake or cookies on Shabbos, it's always achilas keva, you always have to say hamoitzi. So we obviously don't follow that opinion, because a lot of times we eat cake and cookies on Shabbos, same as Zaynis, we don't say hamoitzi. The Shari Tshuva quotes such an opinion. Shari Tshuva next to the Beheita quotes such an opinion. And we don't follow that view. To the extent that you can avoid the cutting, to the extent you can't avoid the cutting, so that cutting is Litzara Hasuda. But to the extent that you can avoid it, so you should avoid it. So that's what they say. Cut halfway through before you begin to say Hamaitzi.
Then it's not actually between the Kila and the Maitzi, the fact that then you're cutting halfway through. You have to have between the Kila and the Kila Hamaitzi, also not supposed to have
that. So that's not as Chomer. I can go look for Melech in between the Netila and Maitzi. That's not a violation of taking. Yeah, okay. So Taisis claims take it, if you mahalachav beisama is a violation of take it. But whatever you're going to do, letzarach hasuda, that's not a violation of take it. That's what the Rebbe Yehuda writes in his drasha, that even to someone asks the question, you can even answer yes, no, maybe. He says that mikra adin, it's a big chumer. Mikra adin, it's really muta.
Between the amaitzi and the eating, that's a bigger din.
Yeah, that's a real din of hepsik.
That is. The guy can take the rolls, bite off the roll, and cut it.
No, why? He doesn't want to bite off the roll. It's not their cheretz. The Rishonim called him a sechus their cheretz. It's not their cheretz to take a piece of food larger than a kibetza. Basically, it's only maxi kibetza. So the guy's going to take a piece of food larger than a kibetza and bite into it. So that's not their cheretz. He should break off a piece of food that's a kibetza or smaller and then eat it.
If you have to do that, then there shouldn't be a.
So Tosha says, to the extent that you can do the cutting before the hamoitzi, so you should do that to minimize that hefsik is machomer. The hefsik between hamoitzi and eating the food, that's a real din of hefsik between the brichas hanenin and the eating, as opposed to in between the netilas yadayim and hamoitzi, that's not to have a hesach hadas, really. That's not a din of hefsik. So whatever is l'tzar chasuda, that doesn't pose a problem. Yeah.
One of the reasons that we make tefillah before the bracha is because we don't want your hands to be dirty, because we're not from the behema. The behema is with hemes. So why don't we do this for every single bracha? Why is it
The Gemara says it is for every bracha.
I'm saying any bracha.
There's mayim emtsoyim, right. The Gemara Chulin in Perek Kolobos talks about mayim emtsoyim in the middle of the meal. He had the first course and his fingers are all gooey, all sticky, and he wouldn't touch his shirt, he wouldn't touch a sefer. It's going to make it greasy. So then he wants to have the next course, which is a shahakal of adama or something. So he has to wash my mem tzoyim to be able to say the next bracha.
So even from his zaynus?
Yeah.
Outside of
him? Yeah. He's not allowed to say a bracha. Let's say a guy just had ice cream, and the ice cream is dripping all over his fingers, and he's licking his fingers, they're all sticky. He can't say bar nefesh, he can't say alam ichya at the end. Can't say any bracha. I'm not supposed to say any bracha because my fingers are sticky.
So why don't we be nice
to leave
that for everything?
Why does it need a kli? I don't know if it needs a kli. I don't know if it needs a kli.
You need my machrayim
because the hands are dirty. You don't just wipe by hands with a napkin and wash it. I don't know. Got months to find out. I don't know. Okay. Sure. What's the Gemara go about? Itmar. And Lama Testament Bay, 6 lines on that. Itmar. Heviu lifneim ptisin ushleimen. They have on the table, I want to say Hamotzi, and I have an option of either saying Hamotzi over a Shlemo, or saying Hamotzi over a Ptisen, a sliced challah. Omer Avuna mevorach ala Ptisen and poiter sa Shlemo. Mevorach ala Ptisen and poiter sa Shlemo. I mean, he doesn't believe in the Hashivas of Shlemo. How can it be? That's Tosis Kasha, how can it be? So what does Rashi say? Ptisin ushleimen. Amar Avune. Imrotzim avarach ala ptisin. Vima ptisin gdoi lemen ashleimen tzorach levarach aleim. So Rashi learns that according to Rav Huna, shleimo is not a mile at all. Shleimo is la mile of la mile. Rav Huna just holds that size is a mile. So if I have two rolls, that has a large size roll and a small roll. See, if I'm on a diet and I want to eat after the small roast and there's nothing to discuss. Or if, let's say, I have two breads are both cut into. And one is gigantic and one is small. And I have to eat after from this as opposed to that. This one is fresher, tastier, whatever. That's for the guest and this is for me, whatever. If there's some reason or another why I have to eat this or that, so whatever I have to eat. The other one is for the guests. But if it's optional, if it's equally possible for me to either eat the larger, to say Hamotzi over the larger one or the smaller one. So Rav Huna holds that reciting a bracha over a larger piece of food, that's considered a hider mitzvah, that's considered a chashivas. Over a shleimo, he doesn't consider that a maila. That's how Rashi learns. Over a larger one, that's considered a maila. So Rav Huna says, Mavorach ala ptisin. Upoter as Hashem means like this: if the ptisim, if the prusa is larger than the shleimo, then you got to say hamotzi over the prusa. If it's the exact same size, approximately the same size, the prusa is the same size, then it's optional. Rashi learns. Rav Huna holds that the shleimo is not a mile at all, and Rav Yechana disagrees. Shleimo mitzvah menamufka. Even if the prusa is larger than the shleimo, Rav Yechana holds that there are two milas. Shleimo is a mile, and gdoilo is a mile. And when you have these two pitted against each other, so the maila of Shleima is greater than the maila of Gedola. So Tosis finds that hard to believe. Tosis Mivorech. Tosis goes Pirish Rashi. Then if I ain't Svarlam the Pligi Behepach Svaris, Tosis says you rarely find like that. The Ava Machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yerchan and Akotze La Kotze. If you have a Shleima and a Gedola, so Rav Yechana holds that the Shleima takes precedence over the Gdoila. Rav Huna holds that the Gdoila takes precedence over the Shleima. So Tosis finds that difficult to absorb. So what do they want to learn? That's how Rashi learns. Rashi learns that Rav Huna holds that Shleima is not a Maila at all. Only Gdoila is a Maila. So Maila, if you have one is Gdoila, one is Shleima, so the Gdoila takes precedence. So Shleima is Bechlal not a Maila. And Rav Yechana disagrees on two accounts. Number one, he holds that Shleima is a Maila. Number two, when it's the two milas, one against the other, so Gedoilo is not only, Shleima is not only a mila, it's a greater mila than Gedoilo. So Tosis finds that hard, that there should be a double machlekes, where the Shleima is a mila, and then in Tim Shleima it is a mila, is it a greater mila than Gedoilo? So the Rabbi Natam doesn't like. So what does Rabbi Natam say? Yeah. Al kein pirush abinatam, this tesis mevarach. Al kein pirush abinatam, mar biptisim gedolim ushleimim ktanim. We're talking about a specific case. They both agree, the rules and regulations are as follows. If you have a shleima in a prusa, everybody agrees, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi, they both agree. It's a hidden mitzvah to say the hamotzi on the shleima. If you're both prusos, or they're both shleimos, and one is gedola, one is ktana, and you can have an option either you're saying hamotzi on this or that, so they both agree that to say hamotzi over the gedola constitutes the hidden mitzvah. The nekudas hamachlekes is when these two are pitted one against the other. On the one hand, this is gedola, on the one hand, that one is shleima. So which one of these two milas is greater than the other? So that's the machlekes, Rav Huna and Rabbi Yechon. According to Rashi, they're two steps. Rav Huna and Rabbi Yechon are not two steps apart from each other. According to Tosafot, they're not two steps apart. They both agree that Shleima is a Mila. They both agree that Gedolah is a Mila. Just talking, when you have one against the other, so which Mila is greater than which? Is A greater than B, or B is greater than A? Take for example, the Mishnah has in the end of Zohar, there's the name of a pair called Atodir. So the Mishnah says, if you're interested in performing two mitzvahs, I'm prepared to do the both mitzvahs now. One is mitzvah A, one is mitzvah B. I don't care. I can either do first A, then B, or first do B, then A. It doesn't make a difference. So which order should I arrange them in? So the Mishnah has two rules. One rule is Torah v'sheina Torah, Torah kodesh. You should do the Torah first. The other rule is Mekudesh v'ena Mekudesh, Mekudesh kodesh. If one mitzvah is more important than the other. So now the Gemara raises the question, what if it's Torah Mekudesh? What if one mitzvah A is Tadir, but mitzvah B is Mekudesh? What do you do when they're pitted one against the other? So the Gemara says, has an abide life shita. So the Rambam paskins is a shiur to Yaakov. So that's Tosis learns that that's the shaila here. Rav Huna and Rav Yechon, they both agree shleima is a mila. They both agree gedola godlus is a mila. They argue when you have shleima versus gedola, which one of the two milas is greater? So Rav Huna holds that gedola is a greater mila than shleima, and we pass like Rav Yechon. That's his al kempirish abinatan. Mar b'tisim gedola mishleim ktan. Ach pirishim Rav Huna and Mevorach al b'tisim klaner. Im yirtziv So the Rabbi Natan even makes the machlekes closer than that. He doesn't even say what I said. Rabbi Natan makes it closer. He says, Rav Huna holds that it's equal. If one is gedola, one is shleima, it's equal. Say, you see, it's a yagdim. They both are equal. Rabbi Yechon says, no, that the shleima tips the scale. He didn't even have to go so far. Okay. Didn't have to go so far. He made the machlekes very close. He didn't even have to make it that close. He wanted to make it closer than Rashi made it. According to Rashi, Rav Huna is not goris bichlal that shleima is a mila, and Rabbi Yechon holds not only shleima a mila, shleima is a greater mila than gedola. So Rabbi Yechon is two steps away from Rav Huna, very far apart. So Rabbi Natan wanted to make it so close, so he made it. The Rav Huna holds that shleima versus gedola, they're even Stephen, and Eizes Shiur to Yagdim, whichever one you want. And Rabbi Yechon says no, that gedola, that the shleima tips the scale. He made it very close with each other. What do you do when you have a machlekes, Rav Huna and Rav Yechon, and how do you paskin? So that's the end of the Tosis. The Tosis says, "Chen alochi ki Rav Yechon, the Rav Rav Yechon alochi Rav Yechon, v'koshken gab Rav Huna shalochi kvon shel talmid shel Rav." Rav Huna was the talmid of Rav. So if Rav Huna would disagree with Rav, we'd say, "En alochi ki talmid b'makom harav." So if Rav would disagree with Rabbi Yechon, we would have passed like Rabbi Yechon. That's the Gemara's klal and psak. Rabbi Yechon, said Tavachomer. The Rav, Rabbi Yechon of Rav Huna. Rav Huna is the Talmud of Rav. But we have a klal hilchasa kibasroi. So if Rav Huna, Rabbi Yechon, and Rav Shmuel were all the same generation of Amoraim, all students of Rabbeinu Hakadosh Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So Rav Huna was the Talmud of Rav, so we should say Hilchasa Kebasroi. Shouldn't we pass like Rav Huna? So Tosfos quotes from the Gaonim. No, the Dafke Bamaroi Basroi. I mean Hilchasa Kebasroi. May Abai v'Rava v'Yelach. That's how the Gaonim say. Only from the generations of Abai v'Rava v'Yelach. And the earlier generation, the Amaroyim, they were working on Lomdus. The later generation, they were working on Alocha L'Maisa. So in the later generation, Abai v'Rava v'Yelach, they're working on Psak Alocha. So you say Hilchasa Kebasroi. And the earlier generations is the reverse. So Rav Huna would have disagreed with Rav, he would have passed like Rav. So here Rav Huna is disagreeing with Rav's chaver, Rav Yechon, and Rav Yechon's opinion would be that Rav's opinion, the kavachim that we pass like Rav Yechon and against Rav Huna. Okay. This is a klal for Shas, the note around Shas, yeah.
But it also says
Kleber
Yirtze. Could you say that in the name of Kalibus Avaneh?
at the end of the river stream, the hitter for going to Tosfot or not?
I think the din of chavivis that we have later, chaviv koidem, that's a mem on the base, and hogemar mem alchem and al. Chaviv means that you have two different minim. You have oranges and you have apples. And I enjoy oranges better than apples. Derech klal, I enjoy oranges. Even if this is a dried out orange and the apple is fresher and it's more gishmak, but the min of the orange is chaviv by me. But here, everything is bread. So I don't think it's shach to say over here that...
Like some people, for example, they like their bread already crumbed and cut and ready to eat. Some people, would want to... They cut their own bread.
I don't think that's called chaviv. I think chaviv means the min that's chaviv. The min that's chaviv... Yeah, okay. That's a different min. That's a different min. I don't know, Tesis quotes that, about the pas kever, that's called pas palabais. And that Tesis, Abel Prusa. The Tesis quotes the Tosefta like that. The pas palabais, as opposed to gluskois, a fancy schmancy, delancy, white, clean flour. And pas palabais is pumpernickel. So the Tosefta says that the pas gluskois takes precedence over the pas palabais. But that's not called chaviv. That's a different thing because it's cleaner, it's wider. Everybody knows that it's nicer. Chaviv means the min is chaviv. Min is he enjoys that min. But here everything was all the same min. That's why it's a problem. The way the Tosis is printed on the bottom of Lamentes Amud Aleph, they talk about chaviv. The way we have it printed, it doesn't make sense. How can you have chaviv? Everything is bread. The prusa with the shlema, everything, pastum and kai, everything was all the same bread. So how can you say that one is chaviv and the other one is not chaviv? That's why it says to look in the Tosfos and Menachos and the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah. It's not the way it's printed here. The way it's printed is that it's megumgum. When Rabbi Sol Salanter founded the Musa movement, so he had the three most outstanding Talmidim that he had. So one of them was known for his learning, Rabbi Yitzchak Blanzer. He was the rabbi in St. Petersburg, Rabbi Yitzchak of Peterburg. So he has tshuvas, pre Yitzchak, very strong tshuvas. And people tied it to Rabbi Sol Salanter that because he got Rabbi Yitzchak of Peterburg involved in the Musa shtick, so that's why his Talmud, Rabbi Yitzchak of Peterburg, lost out. He could have become a greater Goyen than he was, but because he was learning Musar and printing Musar and so on, giving drushes, so that's why he lost them. So Rabbi Sol Salanter said over this Gemara that we pass on like Rabbi Yechanan, that Shlema is more important than Godless. Shlema is more important than Godless. That if you have a big challah that's a Prusa and a small challah is a Shlema, so he says a person who knows how to learn well and he's an Adam HaSholem, he's a Bal Musar, so that's Shlema Sol. And godless and learning, lacking the midas tovah, so that's considered like a prusa. So we pass like Rabbi Yechanan that shleimus is a higher miler than godless. Musa Haskel. So that's a machlekes Rav Huna and Rabbi Yechanan. Okay. Rav Huna says mevarach al aptisin upoitar sa shleima rabbeinu tam los im yirtze. That's how he says that shleima in Gedoyla is an even tie, and Eza Sheyirtza Yagdin, and Rabbi Yechanan thinks, no, that Shlemus is a greater Mila than Godless. Fine. What's the next line? That's the Machlekes. Avol, Prusa Shal Chitim, and Shlemus Shal Sorim. What if one is Chitim, one is Sorim? And the one that Sorim is the Shlema. So which Mila? So we know that Chitim, they're both Hamoitzi. But they're both going to be bar minim mezonis, let's say if it's cake or kli. Both going to be mezonis ha-moitzi. It's going to be the same bracha. So the shaila is, should he say the bracha on the chitim to pata the sa'irim? Or should he say the bracha on the sa'irim to pata the chitim? So the Gemara says later that min shiva, Rabbi Yudah says in the Mishnah, mem amabes, that if you're eating grapes and oranges, so you should really say ha'eitz on the grapes, the pata the oranges, not to say ha'eitz on the oranges, the pata the grapes. If you enjoy oranges better than grapes, then it's machlek sabir in the Rabbanim. Rabbanim say chaviv takes precedence over min shiva. Rabbanim says min shiva takes precedence over chaviv. But if there's no contradiction between the chaviv and the min shiva, then they would all agree that min shiva takes precedence. Everybody would agree that chaviv takes precedence to the non-chaviv. The only time is a machlekes avinu rabbanan when it's a conflict between chaviv and min shiva. So which one takes precedence? So the Gemara says that not only is there a din that min shiva takes precedence over non min shiva. The Gemara says a mem aleph and an aleph, 13 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yosef itaymer Rav Yitzchak kol amukdam the pasuk zem mukdam lebracha shenem eretz chit the sar vegeven etayna v'riman eretz eshemen advash. Whatever, whichever one of the zayin minim is mentioned first has precedence. The one that's closer to the word eretz, eretz chit the sar, so chit takes precedence over sar. So we're going to say amoytzi, you're going to eat both chit and sar. So should you say amoytzi on the chit to the pat of the sar? Should you say amoytzi on the sar to the pat of the chit? So you're only going to eat one. Should you say on the chit or should you say on the sar? Which one? So the Gemara says, and there's no chaviv, equally. Not that he enjoys one more than the other. So the Gemara says that that's the rule. Chitos kodemus l'sar. So our Gemara says, even if the sa'ora is the shlema, avol prusa shel chitim shlema shel sarim, debakol mevarach ala prusa shel chitim and poteros ha shlema shel sarim. That the maila of chitim over sarim, because kala mugdam b'pasik is mugdam lebroche, is considered mochashuv. Mugdam b'pasik is mochashuv. So that takes precedence over the maila of shlema. And then Tosef quotes this Tosefta with the Yerushalmi, a whole hierarchy of different things. Pas palter and pas yisrael, so which takes precedence? And what if the pas palter is nikiya and the pas yisrael is kever? So which one takes precedence? All the kolom. What does the Gemara continue weiter? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Baraba Kitanoi. What's a machlok yisatanoi? What's a machlok yisatanoi? They very often the Gemara will have like this. You mention a machlok yisamaroyim. Don't think that the Torah was given in Tavshin Samaches. No, kitan. It's an old machlok yisatanoi. So if you don't read carefully here, so you could misread the Gemara. Rashi says you think there's machlekes Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. So the machlekes Amaraim is kitanoi. So Rashi said that's not what it means. Rashi writes kitanoi doesn't mean the machlekes Amaraim is identical with the machlekes Atanoi. What does it say? Kitanoi. Hod liyamrit prusa shel chitim v'shleima shel saorim v'chulei. What you're assuming adav pashut that chitim takes precedence over Sa'orim, even though the Sa'orim is Shalem, that's a machlekes Hatanoim. Why does Chitim take precedence over Sa'orim? So I said, based on the Gemara Mem Aleph and Manav, we have to see, is that what Rashi learns in the Gemara? I thought because Kala Mugdam Epasik is a Mugdam Lebrocha. So let's see. The Gemara quotes a machlekes Hatanoim from a Mishnah in Trumas. The din is when you mafresh Trumah, that the Pasik, Baharim chemes chelbo mimenu. What do you mean chelbo? Chelev is on a behemoth. You have chelev. On trumas and maizes, it's not fleshy. Trumas and maizes is parva. It grows from the ground. So what do you mean baharim chemes chelbo mimenu when you mafresh the truma? So the Gemara says what it means you should be mafresh min amuvchor. If you're torim min aroa ala yofe, so you're in violation of that essay. Baharim chemes chelbo mimenu. I think the Ramban has his ongoing machlekes with the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs, how to count the 613 mitzvahs. So he knocks out about 16, 17 mitzvahs aseh, so he has to replace them. So this is one of the mitzvahs that he replaced. He adds on the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah lahafrish, mitzvah afroshes trumas ma'aseh, the Rambam also counts, but a mitzvah to be torah min ayofa, as opposed to ha-torah min ayofa, la yofa zayva be'aseh. So how do you determine which is yofa? So that's a machlekes hatanoim, kitanoi. There's a din hider mitzvah when you say a bracha birchas hanenin. So the chefzah shal mitzvah is the first piece of food that you're going to swallow. So you say hider mitzvah, we should be mahada to have the first piece of food should be mahuder. And there's such a similar din over here. It's not identical. It's such a similar din by truman. Barim chem b'schad menet to be torah min ayofe al ara. So how do you decide which is yofe? So the statement that we just said that chitim pruso shal chitim takes precedence over Shleim or Shel Sa'orim is a machlekes, depends on a machlekes Satan. It's not muskim l'chol ha'des. Tarmin botzel katan sholem, avolo chatzi botzel godol. Tanakama says it's preferable to be marfish truma. Now, we're talking about onions, but sodom are onions. Onions are not for neshivas aminim shenishtapcha behem Eretz Yisrael. So right away my pshat is wrong. I said that chitim takes precedence of a sarim based on the pasuk that says kol amukdim pasuk and mukdim lebrocha. So the question is, well, how serious is that chashivas kol amukdim pasuk? Is that so important that it even takes precedence of a sholem or not? So the Gemara says, yeah, the chitim pruso is more important than sarim sholem. That's what I learned. So the Gemara is saying that Rashi learns in the Gemara, that's kitanoi. We're talking about onions over here. So what has it got to do with the Shivas Aminim? So Rashi clearly does not learn the way I learned. So what is Rashi learning here? Karmim, Tosfos doesn't learn what I learned either. What I learned is not pshat. It was a good try before he learned Rashi and Tosfos. It's not bad before you look in Rashi and Tosfos. I remember once I had a professor here, he taught in the college. So he said, when he studies Mishnayos, he covers the Tosfos Yontif, the Bar Tanura, the Tosfos Yontif with his two arms, and he just reads the Mishnayos. That's why he misunderstood all the Mishnayos. He just read the Mishnayos without any of the Mefarshim. So if you read the Gemara without Rashi and Tosfos, you're bound to fall in. Here you're going to see from the Gemara that that's not correct. The Gemara is not relying on what it says in Mem Aleph, some other consideration. Why is Chitin more important than Sur? So what does he say? Kitanoi. Tarmin botzel kotn sholem avaloi chatzi botzel godol. It's preferable in order to fulfill the mitzvah of barimcha meschal b'mena to be torim in ayofe, as opposed to be torim in aroa. So it's preferable to be torim botzel kotn sholem avaloi chatzi botzel godol. And Rabbi Yudah disagrees. Loiki is the same as loikach. Loiki is the same as loikach. Ela chatzi botzel gadol is preferable. Why is chatzi botzel gadol preferable? Why should it have a mila? So what does Rashi say? Oh, so Rashi explains. Avelo chatzi botzel gadol afal pishesh bo yosem mikot mishalem. Rashi says the little onion which is shalem is a teeny weeny onion, and the one that's chatzi botzel gadol is a gigantic one. The half of the gigantic onion is larger than the small onion that's sholem. So according to Rashi, the machlekes hatanoim over here is which is more choshev, the shlemus or the godless. That's how Rabbi Sol Salanta said. That was how the Rabbi Natam learned the shaila before. According to Rabbi Natam, that was the machlekes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yechanan. Rav Huna said that it's equal. That's how the Rabbi and the Tam learned, equal. Rabbi Yechanan said, no, that the Shlemus is more important. One could have learned halfway like the Rabbi and the Tam. The Rav Huna holds that Godless is a greater Mila than Shlemus, and Rabbi Yechanan holds that Shlemus made a greater Mila than Godless. Rabbi and the Tam didn't learn like that. He said he thinks Rav Huna holds that it's optional. Shlemus and Godless are Shkulim Hain. It's optional, whichever one you want to do. And Rabbi Yechanan, whose opinion is accepted, he holds that Godless is greater. So now the Gemara says, Kitanoi, according to Rabbi Natam, you can say the Machloik is Rav Huna, and Rav Yechanan is Kitanoi, this Machloik is Atanoi. So what is... But Rashi doesn't say it like that. What does Tosfos say? Kitanoi, Pirish Rashi, Chatzi Batzel Gadol, Kori Choshuv, Lefi Sheish Vayotze Mi Batzel Katan, Sholei. Because there's more volume. So the machlekes Rav Yudah in the Tanakhama is which is more mehuder, the sholem or the one that's more choshev? Why should it be more choshev? So chitim is more choshev than tzorim, not because of mugdam and pasik. It is mugdam and pasik samach le'eretz. So what does it got to do with onions? It has no tzushtel. So it just means that people enjoy chitim more than tzorim. Is machal behema, the Gemara says. Chitim is machal adam, tzorim is machal behema. It doesn't mean that it's not Michael Adam. If it wouldn't be Michael Adam, it wouldn't be Chayvin Shemus and Maestris. It means that it's more so. It's more Michael Behem than it is Michael Adam. But the Chitim is more Michael Adam. So that's what the Gemara said before. According to Rashi, what they said, this, they all agree. Aval Prusa shal Chitim shleimim and asem derakim avaruch ala Prusa shal Chitim. Why? Because Chitim is more choshev then Tzorim, because people enjoy Chitim better than Tzorim. It's more Michael Adam, even though the Tzorim is Sholem. So that's over here, Rashi says, the Chatzi Botzel Godol is larger in volume than the Botzel Koton Sholem. So because it's larger in volume, so that's why it should be considered Mochoshuv, but the other one, Tzav Kasaf, is Sholem. So the statement that we said, that Chitim Prusa to express in itself is Tzorim Shlema, it really depends on this machloikis satanoi. It's not so muskam, it should depend on the machloikis satanoi. And we're paskening like the Rabbi Yudit. According to Rashi, the statement before that it's preferable to take the chitim prusa as opposed to the sarim shlema, that's like Rabbi Yudit. He says, loiki, loikach alachatzi botzel gadol is preferable to the shalem. So that's a little strange. The statement that we adopted, Prusa shalchit mishleim and asem divrei hakol. Rav Huna, Rav Yechon, we both agree. Mavrach ala prusa shalchitim is aliba de Rav Yudit. The way Rashi learns, kit tanoi doesn't mean Rav Huna and Rav Yechonan have the same machlokes as the tanoi. No, the statement that we said divrei hakol. So the statement is ki Rav Yudit. That's surprising that we should pass like Rav Yudit. So what is Tosis goes along with Rashi? The Tosis is not happy with the Rashi. They say, where does Rashi come off to say such a pshat that the Mishnah in Trumas is talking about such a chitimtze, the chatzi botzel godol is larger in volume than the botzel sholem katon? It doesn't say that. Tosis says that they get the impression that they're both the same size. So if they're both the same size, so why should anybody in his right mind say you should give the chatzi botzel godol? Give him the sholem. Give him the shalem. Why should you give a chatzi botzel gadol? The Tosa says, no, we have different size onions. The larger onions are tastier than the smaller onions. The baby onions don't taste as good. Maybe they're not as developed. The chatzi botzel gadol is going to be preferable in flavor. The taste is going to be better.
Why doesn't just Tosa understand that Rashi is going with Askana Sagimara, that botzel gadol is more kind to bring to the car? Very simple.
No, that the Gemara rejects.
The Gemara is basic in the end that because of the amount of volume that's there, it's going to be easier to, it's miskayim to bring to the
car. No, miskayim is going to be. Miskayim is the shalom is going to be miskayim.
So of course, in the end we say the shalom, but that would be avenue to say that maybe more volume, it's practicality. If it has more volume, it's going to be more of the object when you bring it to the car.
Yeah, but Tosis thinks that it's not the mashman the gemar. The chatzi botzel gadol is larger in volume than the botzel sholem katan. They say they don't see where Rashi sees that in the Mishnah. They think that it's the same volume, the same size. He's supposed to give truma 2%. Adam Beinoni, Ayin Beinonis gives truma 2%. If you want to be generous, you give 1 out of 40. You want to be stingy, give 1 out of 60. And on Mida Beinoni, Ayin Beinoni gives 1 out of 50, 2%. So Tosis is not happy with Rashi. You're talking about giving chatzi botzel gadol is larger in size than the botzel katan shalem. No, we're talking about giving 2%, so it's going to be the same size. So they don't think that that's the pshat. So where do you? So what is the pshat? Why does the Gemara think the chatzi botzel gadol should be preferred over the botzel katan shalem? So Tosis claims that it's tastier. Says. In the third line of the text, no, not like Rashi. The chatzi basel gadol and basel cotton shalom same size. Avol the gadol tov yosel achilim and akotten it tastes better. Sure, it tastes better. So what's kitanoi? So then they say, so that's number one. They straighten out. They don't agree with Rashi. So and the maila and what's kitanoi? So Rashi said the statement that we said. Our statement is totally in the machlokes hatanaim. So it's a pella. It comes out that the statement that we adopted is against the Chachamim's opinion. We're adopting a position of Rabbi Yudit. Why should you pass like Rabbi Yudit? So that's what Tosis comments on that also. But Pirish Rashi, Rashi has another comment here. The Maisa Tanoi are safer on the second statement, not on the machlokes Rav Huna Rav Yechon. Vorach ala prusa shalchitim, poitos ha-shalom mishol sam, ma'asav ha-chal shavod, ma'asav ha-chitim, demekadmi bikro adifi. That what? Mar Savar. Mar Savar Choshev Adif. What's his Choshev Adif? Choshev Adif means the Sholem is Adif. Mar Savar Chitim de Mekadmi Bikro Adifi, because it precedes it in the Pasuk. אבל אי אפשר לפרש לחית מעדיף משום שפשל חית מחשב מפשל סורים, זה אפשר למנך פס נקי פס קיפה השול למודד. What does Tosfos say? Again, what's the second half of the Tosfos? עוד פירוש רש"י. The maisi tanoi asefo. It's very difficult. The Gemara says ketanoi, the statement that we said kuli alma, everybody agrees that this is the din. It comes out of, how can everybody agree if it's shaloi kalocha, if it's alibid rebuted? So is Tosfos going to suggest a different pshat? The maisi tanoi asefo and the vorach ala prusu shalchitim poter sashlem shalasarim. Umar sava choshiv adiv. What do you mean? Shalem adiv. Shalem adiv. Umar sava chitim the mekadmi bekro. Adiv chitim the mekadmi bekro from the Gemara in the next daf. So what does it got to do with onions? The Tosfos says no, because it tastes better. So the large onions, the large size onions, are tastier than the small size onions. And the chitim are tastier than the sorim, because the chitim are Michael Adam and the sorim are Michael Behema. They're touching up the pshat. Avaliyev shalefaresh, the chitim adifim mishum shepashal chitim choshim and pashal sorim. What do you mean? Because it tastes better. I thought that's what they do learn. So perashti, because they said in the previous Tosfos, the b'menechot pas nekiyah pas kever, hasholem odif. What did they say in the previous Tosfos? They quoted a Tosefta. Shleimim, what it says, Tosefta Perek Dalet, in the previous Tosfos. And it says, Shleimim the gluskois, that's white flour. Shleimim the balabayis is pumpernickel. Vorachal Shleimim the gluskois, because people would prefer that. That's considered more mehuda. What about Prusa the gluskois, Shleimim the balabayis? You have pumpernickel, that's shleimo, and you have prusa de gluskois. So the Tosefta says, mevorach ala shleimim de balabayis. It's preferable to say the brach on the shleimim, even though the gluskois is tastier. So how does Tosfos understand that? To hapei rashti, the last line of this Tosfos is Ketanoi. So what are they commenting on that Tosefta that they quoted in the previous Tosfos? The Perash that we just quoted before from the Tosefta, the Min Echod, Pas Nikia, Pas Kever, it's all Min Echod, Hasholim Odev. The difference between the Pas Kever, the Pas Balabais, and the Pas Gluskois is that we left all of the shells in. It's whole wheat. It means we left all the shells. So it's all the same min. So that's what they interpret. The Perashti, we said in the previous days, that the min echod, pas nikia, pas kever, hasholem odif. If you have gluskois as opposed to pas balabayis, and the Tosefta says gluskois takes precedence, mevarachala gluskois. But if you have the gluskois, are prusa, and the balabayis is shlema. So we say that the Shlema does take precedent. So what are they saying over? You can't say because it's tastier. Why not? That's how they said. The large size onions taste better than the small size onions. So aren't you making a parallel over here? That the chitim are tastier than the sa'orim. What exactly, what's Tosfos not happy with? I'm not sure. Tosfos is quoting this Ve'od Pirish Rashi, and this Tosfos Kitanoi, so they quote Rashi on two issues, and they sound like they're disagreeing on both. So the first issue they quoted Rashi is that Rashi understood, why should anybody say you should give the Chatzi Batzel Gadol? Why should Rabbi Yudah say you give the Chatzi Batzel Gadol as opposed to the Sholem Katon? The Rashi interprets because the Chatz Batzel Gadol is larger in size. So Tosfos is not happy with that. What are you talking about? The guy's giving 2%. It's going to be exactly the same volume. They don't agree with Rashi. So how do they substitute a pshat instead of that Rashi? So they say that the large size onions are tastier than the small. That's what we're talking about. The larger size onions are tastier than the smaller size onions. So that's why it's more mubchur. Then they quote Rashi as another thing, but Pirish Rashi, that Kitanai doesn't go. Normally Kitanai would mean we had a Machlekes Amoraim, and Machlekes Amoraim is identical to a Machlekes Hatanaim. So Rashi doesn't say like that. Rashi goes out of his way to say, no, the statement that we made, that everyone agrees, that's Kitanai. So Tosis quotes that, and then they float off from the topic. You get the impression that Tosis is going to disagree with that also, like they disagreed with the first part of Rashi, they're going to disagree with the other part of Rashi. They're going to say the Machlekes Rav Huna Rav Yechanan is Amar Rav Yirmiya Barab, the Kitanai, the Machlekes Amoraim is a Machlekes Hatanaim. And then the Gemara says, not necessarily so. The Gemara is going to dingzach, not necessarily so. Hechadik, Koin, Kalam, Lopiga, etc. But originally, Rav Yirmiya Barab is saying, Machlekes Amoraim is identical with the Machlekes Hatanaim. So what's identical? So the Pashtus is, that's the Shaila from before. If you have Shlema and you have Gedoyla. So which is better? So Rashi learned that here it's Shlema and Gedoyla. Yeah, but Tosfos doesn't like that part of Rashi. That here the Chatzi Botzel Gadol is larger than the Botzel Koton. So Tosfos says it's tastier. So also, it's a tastier. So it's similar. So it's a Machlekes Hatanaim where the Shlemus beats out other Milas, outweighs all the other Milas. No, no. It's possible to have a Milah tasty. The Chatzi Botzel Gadol is tastier than the Shalem. So that Milah outweighs the Milah of Shlemus. So that Machlekes Hatanoim, the Gemara says, is parallel to the Machlekes Amoraim. Does Shlemus always win out? Or do you say no? Sometimes the Dovish Ein Shalem will have a Milah that can outweigh the Shlem. But the Tosfos doesn't fear ice like that. Isn't there something missing in the Tosfos? We have to look in the Tosfos Rabbi Yudis early on. How do they quote it there? Tosfos Rabbi Yudis Chosa, the Tosfos HaRosh. Do they say that Tosfos is disagreeing with the second part of Rashi? Not sure. What does the next Tosfos say? The next Tosfos says also by Rishon Skalva Menah to take mina mufkar. That's when mitzvah to be turned mina yofer al ara, not to be turned mina ara. And that's the machlekes. Which way do you fulfill machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah and Trumas? Which way is one of fulfillment of that mitzvah mina Torah, special mitzvah by Rishon Skalva Menah to take mina yofer, to take mina mufkar? So one says shalom adiv, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says no, that the mufchar is adiv. So why is it mufchar? Why is the other one mufchar? What does the next Tosfos say? Ma'asav shalom adam tamim min olei ha'ika lemeimar the chitim, yeah, maybe chitim takes precedence because akdenei kro, because of the next gemara daf mamal. So they say no, that's not why. They're rejecting that pshat. It's not based on in the previous Tosfos they said it's based on Akdam Ekra. In the Tosfos Kitanoi they said Masav Echitim the Mekadmi Bekra Adifi because of the Pasuk on Daf Memal. Then the next Tosfos is really a Hemshech of this. Masav Shalom Adif. They say, where do you see? How do you know that there's any comparison? Maybe only chitim takes precedence over some because of the pasuk. Why should you think that because the larger onion tastes better than the smaller onion, so that should take precedence? So they're going to reject that pshat of agdam ekrol. Yeshloima, achim edamid, ha'asim avgav to mesvar chashuv lekoyin, adiv tichsim rem pichal mamimena, falachi kam shalem adiv. Yeah. Tanakama holds that shalem takes precedence over tastiness. Achin aminem, shalem adiv, meptisim shal chitim avgav to agdam ekrol. Adinim Rashi shalert al farish ketan apluktai de Rabbi Yechon over Ravuna. Shereen lai de meforish le Ravuna kshem shovim mevorach leze shiirt and kain lekopin ach hashivis vala shleimus. That's Rashi's pshat. Rashi learns that according to Ravuna, shleimus doesn't play a role at all. Shleimus doesn't play a role at all. So Rashi can't say that the machloikis ha-tanoim is identical with the machloikis samaroim. These tanoim, they all could agree that shleimus does play a role. For the pirush, I've been a tam nami the pirush. The mevorach al aptisim gedolim and yirtz viboy baruch al ashleimim tanim. Amal achashiv le odiv. El ki adolim el rapunim kain loy motzi koi ketanai plukta the aptisim. Why not? Tosfos says it's not ketanoi. It's not the machlekes rapune and Rabbi Yechanan is identical with the machlekes. Tosfos goes along with Rashi that when it says ketanoi, it goes on that line. Prusa Shalchit, the Mishleimim and Asarim, that's very difficult. That's Kitanois. It comes out that the statement that we said the Kuliyam is according to Rabbi Yudah. Why should we pass like Rabbi Yudah? How did they prove it? How did Tosfos come to that conclusion? That you cannot love a boy Lepirish Rashi, even Lepirish Rabbeinu Tam Nami, the Pirish Mvorach HaLapetis, and yeah, the whole Rabbeinu Tam Shah. Also, you can't say Kitanoi. Why didn't he want to say Kitanoi? See, the Rabbeinu Tam wanted to make the Machlekes as close as possible. So he said, both Rav Huna and Rav Yechanan agree that Shleimus is a Maila. They both agree that Godless is a Maila. But they just argue, what if you have one pitted against the other? Rav Huna says, Shkulehem, it's equal. So Eze Shiyir Tziyagdim. And Rav Yechanan says, it's not Shkulehem, that Godless is greater. That's how Rabbi Natam learns. If you say like the Rabbi Natam, so then it doesn't fit in. You can't say Kitanoi. Because either Tanam argue, does A take precedence over B, or does B take precedence over A? Nobody says Shkulehem. Why do you have to say? Why do Rabbi Natam have to say Shkulim? Why do you have to get stuck like this? Why couldn't he say the way the normal pshat? Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan both hold from Shleima. They both hold from Godless. They argue, what do you do if you have Shleima pitted against Godless? So Rav Huna holds that Godless takes precedence, and Rabbi Yochanan holds that Shleima takes precedence. So the Gemara will say that that's Kitanoi, the same as in the Mishnah. Why don't you say like that? Because Rabbi Natam didn't learn like Rashi that the Chatzi Botzel Godol is larger. He didn't like that Rashi. He rejected that Rashi. So he said it's tastier. No, so he said that's why tastier is not the same as larger in size. So that's why it can't be, it's not a good parallel. Okay. It's not a good parallel. So Rashi and the Rabbi Natan, they both don't learn the normal pshat. Normally you would have said Kitanoi. If you wouldn't look carefully, you would have said Kitanoi. Machleg Zamroi, Machleg Zatar. So Tosfos says it can't be. You have to say Yehachreach. You have to say Kitanoi means the second line that we said, that L'chol Adei, that's Kitanoi, and the statement that we adopted is like Rabbi Yudah. It's a strange Gemara. That's what it comes out, the Haskolas HaGemara. Then the Gemara is going to ding Zech on the first wide line. Hechadikikon Kalam La'pligi Yishayin, the Gemara is going to argue. But the way the Gemara begins, the statement that we adopted is Shaloi Kalocha. It's like Rabbi Yudah. We're adopting Rabbi Yudah Shita. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Tomorrow.